And so we called two girls over. They brought up a bunch of makeup, and we just put on makeup like the worst way possible. And I recorded it. I learned how to edit on iMovie real quick and put it up, and then that video just took off.
Today we have a Toronto legend in the building. We have a comedian, a YouTuber, a podcast host. You got Toronto legend Marlon Palmer in the building.
How you guys doing? People are texting me like, yo, do you see what Drake just did? Do you see what Drake just did? I'm like, what? What are you talking about? And he basically shared the video and he was like, ah, this is killing me.
What's it like smoking with Snoop Dogg, actually?
Snoop, it was dope both times. Yeah. And we smoked until I knocked out. Everybody knocked out.
Hello and welcome to Hustle for Everything Podcast. This podcast will receive stories, tips, and tactics for entrepreneurs who have done it. Yes. Today, we have a Toronto legend in the building. The brand has legs, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Growing quads.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Ono Sende.
And today, we have a comedian, a YouTuber, a podcast host, an event host. You got Toronto legend Marlon Palmer in the building.
Just a renaissance man, man.
How you guys doing?
Good, good, good.
Welcome to the show, bro.
Thanks for having me.
Most definitely, most definitely. So, bro, first things first, how does it feel to be in the passenger seat of a pod, bro?
You don't. It feels good. No pressure.
No pressure.
No setup.
I don't gotta worry about topics, watch the time, do sound effects. Yeah, it's good.
You know, it's chill. For us, you know, we had to be separate here an hour early.
Yeah, of course.
You know, mm-hmm. Go through the whole process. But now, you had an illustrious career so far, bro, and you still have a lot of ways to go. I want to start off with some of the things that's happened in your past. You know what I'm saying? So first things first, what was your first viral moment, bro? Like, what was the first time you're like, whoa, this is insane?
First viral moment.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's tough. Probably like T.Wire.
Holy.
Back in the day, T.Wire, they had this page where back in T.Wire, you could rate people's pages, mm-hmm. right? And the admins of T.Wire, they would make these two pages, T.Wire Fly Chicks and T.Wire Fly Fellas. And they put people with the top ratings on those pages. Mm-hmm. And then when you were put on that page for like the month or whatever the case may be, you just get mad like friend requests and followers basically. And so I remember I got put on there, and then the next month was Wondergrad at Wonderland. Okay. And so all the high schools and everybody coming through, and I remember walking around with some dudes that I had met before through Ball, mm-hmm. but then I met them again on T.Wire. We used to talk in the forums and shit. Mm-hmm. And I linked up with them. They were my homies. They were walking through, and girls are like recognizing me from this page.
Oh my God, Marlon.
So I'm like, no, at that time, I can't even remember what my T.Wire name was. I had like three or four different names. Mm-hmm. But they were calling me by my T.Wire name. And I was getting like MSNs all night and shit just randomly. And I was like, oh, it's kind of lit. And then, after that, I think the next thing was probably Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I know the way I came to know about you is like, I didn't grow up in Toronto. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in Sarnia. So when I hear these T.Dot, you know Sarnia?
I know where Sarnia
is. Okay, sick. Yeah. So whenever I say Sarnia, no one ever knows where that is. But I learned about you during like the Twitter days, like 2008. And I've always been curious, like, how did you get the name That Dude McFly? Like, what was the origination of that?
I was making my Twitter account and I was watching Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was literally it. Like, I didn't have, that wasn't my nickname or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I was putting in my email name and that had already been taken. My T.Wire name had already been taken. And then, I just looked at the TV and Back to the Future was on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just put that.
It stuck through.
Yeah, yeah.
Became your brand.
People thought it was MC Fly. A lot of people still think it's MC Fly. Yeah. So it worked for me and against me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Word. So when did you go from T.Wire fame to YouTube?
Well, in between that time, I made a lot of different Facebook groups. That was like a thing at one point.
What was it? Was it like the Toronto Sweeties?
There was I love me some light skinned chicks that I made horrible. Oh, regret gosh. That group a damn, lot. Bro. But through there, I met a lot of like friends that I have now. Mm-hmm. And I made like this Fresh Prince is the greatest TV show. I made that group. That shit like took off. Mm-hmm. But nobody really used to look at who would make the groups. They just kind of joined the groups. Mm-hmm. And then I did the Much Music VJ search in 2009. Mm-hmm. And from there, like, I made it to the finale. I lost in the finale. I came in second to Liz Trinier. And after that, I was like, okay, like, where do I go now? Like, I've been on TV 5 days in a row live. Yeah. And my Twitter has been blowing up. And, like, I have, like, 12,000 followers just out of nowhere. I don't know what to do with this. And I ended up going back to school for a semester, and I was taking like pre-media. Mm-hmm. And you could take out camera. Pardon me?
Which school did you go to?
Seneca York. Okay. Yeah. And you could take out cameras. You can rent out cameras. But I noticed if you rent it out on Thursday, mm-hmm. you can get it for the whole weekend. So it's basically a cheat code to rent it for like 4 days, right?
Yeah.
And so I used to just take the camera out and just like take pictures. I was taking a lot of pictures first. And then I didn't even know that there was a video thing on there, and my boy showed it to me, and I just started recording my friends. And one night we saw these two girls make a YouTube video, these two twins, Brittany and Andrea's Choice. They used to do makeup videos. Mm-hmm. Very fire, sexy girls. We didn't know how to get their attention, so they made this video putting on makeup the wrong way, right? And they challenged their viewers, who are mostly girls, to do the same thing and make the same video. Now, back in the day, like YouTube, I don't know if you guys remember, underneath it would, if you replied, it would reply with the video, and you could see people's mm-hmm. video replies, mm-hmm. the thumbnail. And so we're like, yo, if we do this, we're gonna be the only guys to do this, and they're definitely gonna see it. And so we called two girls over, they brought up a bunch of makeup, and we just put on makeup like the worst way possible. Mm-hmm. And I recorded it. I learned how to edit on iMovie real mm-hmm. quick and put it up, and then that video just took off. Mm-hmm. And from there, I just started making videos like just to, at first it was like, oh, this is just an attention thing. Like, mm-hmm. this is fun. But my friends were also dying laughing.
Yeah.
So I was like, now I'm making it for my friends as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And which direction did you choose to take your videos after?
Oh, that? There was no direction.
Just
all.
Making any.
I think
any
my
content.
The second video we made was masturbation. We were just talking about masturbating, and we did like little skits in between mm-hmm. about like getting caught, about what you first masturbated to, all this different shit. And then that took off on WorldStar at the time. Yeah. So somehow I got posted on WorldStar, went crazy. I got way more subscribers. Mm-hmm. And my next video was teaching people how to charge their BlackBerry quicker. Because mm-hmm. not a lot of people knew about airplane mode at the time. Like, this is like, airplane mode is like a brand new thing to phones, right? But I noticed when I put on airplane mode and I charged it, my BlackBerry would charge quick.
Yeah.
So I made a video that took off. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was just like, and I didn't even realize at the time, like, I wasn't taking in how large the numbers were. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just like, oh, this is cool. People are seeing it. And I was like, oh, this is what you do when you put on YouTube. Like, how people put on TikTok now, mm-hmm. and you can see so many people go viral. I thought that's how YouTube worked. I was like, mm-hmm. oh, it's just people picked me. Yeah. I don't know why.
Yeah.
So I was not aware of the business side of it, branding, any of that. I was just making shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was YouTube monetized during this time?
No.
Damn.
No. I didn't monetize my YouTube until probably 2 years after starting it.
Jeez.
I had no idea that was a thing. Mm-hmm. It was very new. And I didn't, like I said, I didn't think it was a business, right?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I didn't monetize anything. I was like taking little bookings, like hostings, stuff like that. And I remember I was going to Miami, and 2 days before, like, I had to pay money on something. I can't remember what it was. But I had to pay a lot of money, and I was basically going to Miami broke. Mm-hmm. And I was like bummed out. I was at the airport, and I get an email from YouTube that they sent my PIN or whatever. So I asked my boy to check the mail. He checks it, tells me the PIN. I put it in, and there's $1,100 just waiting for me.
What?
Oh,
and
shit.
I was just like, yo, that's crazy. And I was like, you can make money off this? Like, I didn't even know what the pin unlocked.
Yeah.
They just said you're going to be a partner. And I was like, okay, that sounds cool. I mean, that means something. Mm-hmm. And yeah, when I went in there, I saw $1,100. I'm like,
And that money came clutch as you're going to Miami too.
I had the greatest time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super clutch. How old were you at this time?
20.
Oh man. Yeah, going to Miami 20, with a fresh check.
$1,100 that you did not expect. That's not when you know, not like, I'm about all, to man. Go off.
It was great. Yeah. It was great.
So how many subs were you getting per day at that time?
I don't even know. Thousands. Mm-hmm. Like, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. It depends. Like, there's some days where it's like you get like 50, but then there's some days where I get like 4,000 or 5,000. Mm-hmm. Like, especially when I drop videos and like I'd see them start taking off, you'd see the subscribers just start like coming mm-hmm. in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to take a quick step back because you said something that was very, you know, smart of you, that you went on much for the VJ search, mm-hmm. right? What made you actually want to join that? Like, not everybody says.
I really? Did no, my boy Lath wanted to join it, and he told me to just do it with him. I was like, all right. So it wasn't a plan of mine. Like, I had no idea how to get on TV. I knew I liked entertaining people and making people laugh, but I didn't know that there was a job and how to get to that.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think that was possible, especially not in Toronto. I'm like, if I lived in LA, maybe, or New York, but. Here, what's gonna happen here? Like,
so you're just like trying everything at once, trying to see like what sticks, or
I was just going with the flow. You're just I didn't, honestly, at that time, I just left my house. Like, I was in such a structure for so long in my life. Like, I grew up in church and had church family, strict Jamaican church family. So, like, I was at home every Friday night. Mm-hmm. I never got to go out like that. So when I left my house, I was just free as a bird, man. I was just doing anything, anything, literally.
I hear that. Where are you from in the city?
I lived in Vaughan.
You lived in Vaughan?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were from Scarborough for some reason.
I grew up in Scarborough and then moved to Vaughan in grade 7.
Got you. All right. So now getting back to it, you're on this YouTube journey now and you're a partner. And you were racking in views at this point. Like, how was your life at that time? Or what was your life like at that time?
I was broke. just like jumping from job to job. I think I was working at The Source. I was working at Extreme Fitness. I used to hand out like flyers at Young and Dundas. And I was just like, I was just doing whatever, honestly, just to make some money. I only wanted to party. I didn't care about anything else. Parties, girls, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't care about anything else.
Word. But at the same time, it felt like you should have been like getting a lot more because those views were like...
You're racking up, man.
And your cultural impact was racking up. So then...
I don't think people knew what it was happening at that time. Like, a lot of people were still making fun of me.
You're in it at the moment.
Well, for me, I didn't know what it... like how big it could be or anything like that. Like, there was no examples in the city of anybody doing that, right? There was LaToya Forever, who was a YouTuber before me, and Those Girls Are Wild. But Those Girls Are Wild, one of them was on Degrassi. And then LaToya, I had not met her yet, so I had no idea what she was doing with YouTube. Yeah. So other than that, I was like, all the big LA YouTubers are the ones making doing the money, getting the deals, doing the commercials. For us, like, there's nothing. There was nothing. Like, nobody was reaching out to me because nobody knew what it was. People were still making fun of me.
Yeah.
We were like, this guy makes YouTube videos. Like, people were making fun of me. It was not like a cool thing like it is now.
The video I came to know about your channel was, I was coming to Ryerson. Mm. And at that time, you dropped the Shit Toronto People Say video. Mm-hmm. And I think that garnered like close to 1 million views at the time, right? Yeah. Was that like your highest viewed video at the time?
Yeah. I was in, I remember I was hosting a party at Wet Bar.
Yeah.
And my phone just started blowing up. I'm like, what's going on? People were texting me like, yo, do you see what Drake just did? I'm like, what? What are you talking about? And somebody sent me a tweet and he basically shared the video and he was like, this is killing me. And I'm just watching the views just
rack up,
skyrocket. Because this is 2011 Drake. This is Take Care Drake. This is like peak. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And so when he tweeted it out, it just caught fire. Like, and it seemed like the whole city was like talking about it. It was crazy. I couldn't even wear that jacket out.
Yeah, I remember that jacket.
If I wore that jacket,
that Letterman jacket you were
wearing. If I wore that jacket out, it was a wrap. I was getting stopped no matter what.
Yeah. Mm. Even white people got offended with that video too. I remember looking at the comments on Twitter. Like, this is not how Toronto people talk.
Monkeys, they were pissed. They had no idea.
Because you really blanketed what Toronto sounds like. Yeah. And I think everyone got really triggered by that for the first time ever.
I think nobody realized, and I think part of the reason I realized was growing up in Vaughan, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you get slang and all that. Like, it's not like we're excluded from it. Mm-hmm. But I also got to see the white people and how they interacted. And I could tell these are two different worlds, mm-hmm. like two very different worlds.
Yep.
And I don't think Toronto realizes they have a world. Like, we were always looking at America, looking at what they're doing. And I was just like, yo, we have like our thing here. And I don't know if it's Jamaican or what it is, but there's a thing here. So we're just like, let's just film it. And when you saw the comments, you could tell, like, I always call it Raptors Toronto and Leafs Toronto. Mm-hmm. There's two very different.
Two different worlds, yeah.
Two very different. Now they're kind of blending. You're seeing those worlds kind of blending after a championship. But before the championship, it was my Raptors Toronto and Leafs Toronto.
That's a good way
two very different people. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Living in the same city, experiencing completely different Toronto's. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting to me after I dropped it to see the reaction.
Yeah, I'd also add this is like a hipster Toronto too. I feel like the hipster Toronto who don't go to neither, and they're just
that Trinity Bellwoods Toronto.
Yeah, and they don't do baseball. No, they maybe baseball. Maybe.
Baseball, craft beer.
Craft beer.
Exactly.
I feel like being a black person downtown gives you that duality too, though. You get to see both because like you either come from the hood and move downtown or like you still have friends there or whatever. Mm-hmm. And downtown, you just get a blend of everybody, right? Like everybody's coming from everywhere, Vancouver, different countries even. So it's like, yeah, downtown, being downtown definitely gave me that perspective as well.
That's a fact. Speaking of those girls who are wild, I see that you guys had like skits with Shannon Boudram, and stuff like that. What was that process like? Because those skits were hilarious.
Yeah, it was dope, man. Shannon's the first person to get me on YouTube. We were doing skits with her, me and Laith, doing a bunch of skits, and it was all her ideas. Like, she was so ahead of her time on with the whole process of how to make a YouTube video. Like,
really?
It was very like almost like Modern Family Now. She was doing then.
Wow.
It's like you'd act some shit out and then there'd be a confessional. Mm-hmm. And she knew exactly what we'd say. She knew exactly what order everything would go in. She'd edit everything. Like, she was like inspiring me to get involved when she first put us on that.
Jeez,
she was like, yo, you guys should jump on YouTube. Like, YouTube is actually mad fun. And like, it was dope.
She's a visionary.
Yeah.
Shout out to Shannon. You should get Shannon on the pod. Yo. Mm-hmm. That'd be hard.
That'd be huge.
So with your story now, you're getting all this virality and you're like working like regular everyday jobs. When would you think was a tipping point between finally meeting the virality with like actually, you know, having the brand make money?
Yeah. I 2016 or 15, I was like a dishwasher at this restaurant. And I went on break at the time to go get food next door at this Vietnamese restaurant. And in between just going two stores away, I took like three pictures with people who recognized me. Mm-hmm. And I was in like my dishwashing uniform and I'm taking these pictures. And like, I'm standing there, I'm like, this is fucking weird, bro. Yeah. Like, this doesn't make any sense. And I went back to work and I was just standing there for a second. And I was just thinking about it. I'm like, am I going to do this? Am I really going to do this? And I just took my uniform off, tucked it away, snuck out the back and just left. And I just went home and I made a YouTube video as soon as I got home. And I was just like, all right, I'm going to keep making videos every single day. I'm going to drop a new video until I make my rent. And if I can make my rent, then I don't have to go back anywhere. Mm-hmm. I can stay home every day. And so I started making YouTube videos just nonstop. And I made my rent and I just never looked back since.
What was the payout like at the time when you're making a YouTube video like that? Like, how is YouTube calculating how much money you're going to be making?
I don't know. I was making like $800, $900 a month. And then the rest I'd make through like hostings or like promoting. Mm-hmm. I was doing a lot of club promotion at that time. to sustain myself.
I think that's the challenge with comedic YouTubers is that the YouTube CPM is so low in comparison to like other niches.
Yeah, it's not like tech or anything like that.
Yeah, like business, you know, or... That sucks so much.
And
bro,
I just didn't know, right? Like there's no examples before me. Yo, do you know how to handle this? Like think about trying to fill out your taxes and you don't know what to put as your occupation.
Yeah.
Who, where am I getting T4s from?
Yeah.
Like there's no anything. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I'm just I was figuring everything out on my own. Like and I had no team. I had like I did everything myself.
Chief of everything officer.
Everything I did, I was my I pretended to be my manager in emails, like I was doing everything for years.
Wow.
So were you also negotiating brand deals and stuff like that?
Yeah. So what and was horrible.
What was the first brand deal that you got?
I cannot remember. I can't remember. It's probably like I think the first brand deal that wasn't a brand deal, but like a thing I did for a company was my boy's clothing line. When I was on the VJ search,
I remember that
he gave me a sweater to wear. Yeah, to wear on the finale, the Dream Designs. Mm-hmm. It was my boy Kyle Hodo. Shout out Kyle Hodo, but he was the first person to ever reach out to me and be like, "Yo, I want you to wear this, or I want you to, you know, just do something."
And that was your first brand. That's a brand deal.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
That time he had a store. He had a store at Queen and Spadina. At the time, like right across the street from Goodfoot. Mm-hmm. And that was like the little like sneakerhead hub right there. Yep, so I was like, ooh, I'm Goodfoot, in.
You know what I'm saying? Most definitely.
Adrift, all those.
Jeez, bro. All right, so you're negotiating your first brand deals and you're finally getting that traction.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start like feeling like, all right, now I have a business. Now you're just, you know, paying for your life.
Mm-hmm.
When do you feel like, all right, I'm at business stage now?
Honestly, like I was at a point where it's like I was making some money, but I knew I could be making more.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I got to get like a team or whatever. And I remember I was in the club with my boy and I hadn't seen him since like a couple years before that in Ottawa. And this is my first time seeing him. I was just like, he's just like, yo, what you been up to? I'm like, I don't know right now. I'm like, I'm doing the YouTube thing, but I'm thinking about like taking it to another level. Like I'm thinking about getting an agent, doing some acting and stuff like that. He's like, bro, I'm an agent. And I'm like, what? He's like, bro, my family's had an agency for 25 years. Like I run the agency now. And I'm like, he's all like, right, nigga, I'll see you tomorrow.
He's like, this in the club, tell you, have an agent.
Is that easy?
Yeah. I was like, all right, nigga, I'll see you tomorrow. I went, showed up to his office the next day, just signed some papers and just started.
Is he still representing you?
Yeah. Wow. Still my agent, yeah.
What year was this, by the way?
2016, I think. Yeah. I think it was 2016, the same year. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's negotiating everything for you.
Well, he was negotiating my acting. I didn't get a manager until like pandemic times. I think I got a manager during that time, and she's been handling my deals since then. I've been getting way more money.
when you were negotiating for yourself, like what's one deal that you can never forget that you feel like you got finessed on?
All of them. I was like I was so grateful to be working with any brand, and at the time I didn't know like what was a lot, what was asking for like a lot, what was asking for a little.
Yeah.
So almost every time I said my rate, they'd be like, great, okay. And now when I'm older, I'm like, that's fucking horrible.
Mm-hmm.
That's like so bad. Like if you tell them your rate, they should be like, oh, we might have to come back and meet you somewhere else at a different price. But back then it was just like, yep, sure, let's do it. Mm-hmm. All right, yeah. Because I'm like, yeah, $300, $400, I could do it, yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't know my worth at the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it took a lot of frustration for me to get to it. And I'm not a money person. Like, that stuff doesn't excite me. Like, doing the thing and getting the recognition for it, that's what excites me. So like the money stuff, I just needed enough to survive. I didn't care about living lavishly or anything like that. So it wasn't even bothering me, which was even worse. Mm-hmm. Now looking back, it's like if it was bothering me, I would have done more. Like,
nah, but
like,
I was so good
with it. I was like, all right.
Mm-hmm. So for someone like in your position or someone who's coming up on YouTube, and they're looking to get those deals. Mm-hmm. What are some things that you can share that they can take into those rooms when they're having these conversations? I'm like, yeah. Okay, when you get approached, you have a channel like of this size, do this, do this, and do that. Mm-hmm. And don't do this and that when you're negotiating.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, like, when you're negotiating, especially to do a deal, like, when you get the ask, what is it? What would make you happy to do that? How much would make you happy to do that? You know what I mean? Like, now I get certain things, and some things I just don't even want to do. So, like, I'll double my quote. Because now if I get that,
you're like, all
right. Oh, now I definitely want to do it.
That's really gravy right there.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Now I definitely want to do it. So it's like, yeah, it's all about knowing your worth, recognizing your worth, and staying firm in it. And, like, adding more to it when you know what you're worth. Add a little bit extra. Because you never know. Sometimes these people have money to throw out, and sometimes they don't. They'll let you know. Mm. And my thing is, I always let them answer first. I say, what's your budget? Mm-hmm. They don't. So it's not asking me what's my rate. No. How much can you spend?
Yeah.
And then sure. We can go from there. Because there's no point in me telling you.
Yeah.
And you just go, okay, or nah, I can't do that. And then I got to keep throwing numbers at you. No. Tell me what your budget is. Mm-hmm. Then I can tell you if we can work.
That's a fact. More subscribers equals better guests. So please hit subscribe on the video. It means a lot. Now let's get back into the show. What I find challenging sometimes too is when you're a net new creator for them.
Yeah.
That's what I find challenging, because sometimes they don't even like have like a creative budget, but they want to work with you.
Yeah.
Have you ever had those ones?
Yeah.
So do you still ask for what, like, for a budget at that point? Or are you like, all right.
Depends on if they're black or not. That's it. Really is that simple. If they're black, and if I see that they're actually putting in work, like they're striving towards something, being consistent.
Yeah.
If I look at your page and I'm not like at all impressed, why am I even gonna, you know what I
extend
mean?
Extend yourself, like, if you're not putting the effort yourself. Like, why am I?
What am I? What am I doing now? I'm joining something that's rinky dink. Now yeah. I don't even that's know what's
your
going
name
on.
Too.
Yeah. Now I don't even know what's going on. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. If I see you have some structure and you're doing something, and you're actually like working towards work, it, yeah. I don't care how small it is, like, I'll help out. You know what I mean? Like, I have no problem with that. But yeah, it depends on if you're black.
No, that's a fact. And I think what you're saying is like this testament to I think was it Chris Rock was saying, like, I don't think it was Chris Rock, but somebody was saying, like, when you see somebody pushing like a boulder down the street or a car down the street, like, oh, let me help them, versus somebody that's just like, hey, want to help me push my car?
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a whole different type of you know, element.
It's kind of like when someone says, like, how much money have you invested in your own business? You know, like when you're asking for an investment, like, how much skin in the game do you have?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
why
yeah.
am I going to take a risk if you haven't put your own money
exactly.
in it and now you want me to come through?
Word. Shark Tank.
Yeah. Shark yeah. Tank.
Facts. So, yo, we have a few creative questions. One question here from one of our listeners mm-hmm. is what's like your systems like when it comes to your podcast? Like, how behind the scenes, how many different systems do you have going on to make sure the episode comes out as crisp as it does?
Oh, it's just me.
You're lying.
Yeah, no, I edit everything. Yeah.
You edit the whole podcast?
Yeah, I edit everything.
Every week.
I put out the clips. I do the clips. Yeah, I do all that.
Okay.
Wow, that's I can't believe that. Because you put out a lot of content all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I do the audio. I do the video clips. I do the pictures, all that stuff, yeah.
How long are you editing? Like, how long are you just at home, like, behind the computer?
Days. Days, yeah.
All right, so break down your schedule, bro.
I was just going to ask that,
yeah,
too.
Like,
what calendar really are you using?
I don't really have a schedule. I just, like, whatever needs to be done, I just
do you
do
sleep?
It. Yeah, I sleep.
You sleep? How many yeah. hours?
I probably go to bed at like
no because
I probably go to bed at like 1-2 sometimes, and I wake up at like 8.
Got you. But also though, you were saying that, you know, you have someone on your team that edits the kind of podcast as you
we have a live editor, so like that makes it much easier. But the audio, unfortunately, is never connected. Mm-hmm. So I have to go and sync the audio, and that takes a while, and then color grade and all that stuff, and then start chopping, finding which clips to put out and stuff like that, and then editing those.
Okay.
And I gotta put captions and all that other stuff afterwards.
Okay. Jeez, I didn't know that. Yeah, we had we have a team that edits our podcast now, and it's a whole process of like making sure everybody's doing what and getting like the thumbnail person that's good. And
yeah,
have you tried that at all? Like,
no,
you just don't trust nobody. You just like,
it's not even that. We're not making enough money on the pod to like just really? Do that. Yeah, no, not we have enough money to sustain like videography right now. Right, and like the studio we're in is, you've seen the studio, it's like, yeah, you know what I mean? So yeah, we're not making money where it's like we can just hire people. Like, and I'm tired of like, I don't mind having interns, but I feel bad every second of it. Like every second that I'm not paying someone to do something, I feel horrible. So it's like, yeah, I'd rather not until we're in a position to just pay somebody. Mm-hmm. But if push comes to shove, if like you hit a ceiling, then it's like, I mean, we got no choice.
Yeah, because I think like a lot of people like kill to intern for you for everything you've done.
Yeah.
Like a lot of kids in media, at Ryerson especially.
That'd be dope. Yeah, no, we definitely are about to open it up for like photography and social media. We definitely need those type of people.
Yeah.
And merch, because we're not like, you know, I'm not a clothing guy that's like that's in tune with all that. So I would love to get someone that like knows graphic design and can do merch that would be willing to like do our merch.
You hear that? That's opportunity right there. You know what I'm saying?
So that you would make bread. So that job specifically, you'd make bread right away.
Word. All right. So if someone was hearing that, wanted to message you, should they slide in your DMs?
Email me is probably the best way.
All right, bet.
Yeah, DMs I don't really take too seriously.
All right, so hit them up in the email. You know, all right, let's move on. All right, so one thing you've done as well is work with music labels. You want to talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
Then we can get into some, like, you know, trending topics, you know, get into some other things happening in the world, some pop culture. To talk to us. What's it like working with, like, labels?
It's dope, man. Like, I started this event called Midnight Society during the pandemic, and it was just something over Clubhouse at first. And the first project we did was Division Muse and Her Feelings, and that was just really dope. It was fun because I always wanted, like, every Thursday night at midnight, I'm listening to every new thing that drops, like no matter what it is. And so me and my girl are always discussing and chopping up. I'm on Twitter having debates and talking about which track I'm feeling. And so I love that discourse, just music discourse, you know what I mean? And I was like, man, it'd be so cool if there'd be like a club that I could do this with, like a book club type of vibes.
Bro, a book club? Sorry to cut you off. A book club for albums, I think, is something that needs to happen.
Right?
We're always debating and everything like that.
For sure.
But even albums that like already been out, you know what I mean? Just to go through it, like Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, like just going through that album with people would be, it'd be dope to just break it down.
For sure. I mean? Isaac.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be dope, Isaac?
Yo, Marlon, what makes were you getting there about the legendary status?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Owen.
Yo, what defines legendary status in music?
In music?
Yes.
Legendary status?
Because we had this heated debate last week, right? I was like, man, you know, Lauryn Hill's a legend.
Yeah.
Legend in music, right? Because we're playing, you know, it's just grooving. I'm like, yo, she's a legend. And Isaac's like, he's not a legend. I'm like, so what defines a legend?
How is she not a legend?
How is she not a legend? Because his qualification is that if she's not making any music at all right now, legendary status doesn't exist.
So Rod Isley's not a legend? He hasn't made music in like a couple years. Erykah Badu hasn't dropped something in 5 years. Lauryn Hill's still touring every year.
It's impact. It's impact.
She literally tours every year.
Isaac, when it comes
to have you heard how many people have used a Lauryn Hill sample in the past 3 years?
Isaac, our videographer, is about to hop on the mic. Come. Actually, you should do Owen so you can.
I'll say it like this. The reason
The
reason why I take away her legendary status is because she left the game early.
That doesn't mean
she left the game while she was still on top.
Biggie
left the game, but not by his choice. And same thing with Tupac.
But who says it was by her choice? Who said it was by her choice? If you listen to her music,
48 Laws of Power, like they say, like don't stay there for too long. Just know when to leave. So like, imagine if she dropped another album, right?
But this is the thing, she couldn't. This is the thing you guys are leaving out. The context needs to be there. She had to leave. She didn't. Oh, she had to leave.
I didn't know about this.
She had to leave. They wouldn't let her drop any music. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They took all of her money. They taxed her like crazy. She almost went to jail at one point. She had to leave. That doesn't make any sense. Like, you don't know how these contracts work. If she makes music and they say, no, you can't put it out. You can't drop it. Yeah, yeah. So then how is she...
Isaac is saying she could have came
you're
back.
You're saying that you understand she can't drop the music, but you're saying she can come back and drop music. You're saying that's forever? The contract's the contract, brother. So I don't know how long it lasted, but this is the point. Her contract's so bad that now she tours. Every year she tours and she's doing her songs, she can't use the beats.
Mm.
She can't even use the beats that were on the album.
Oh, exactly. She has to use different.
And people go there and they get so mad. Like, what is this? Yeah. She has to rework every song. That's how much they have her in the gutter. You've never seen that with any artist ever.
Well, you see them more now, but I understand.
I've never seen an artist that can't perform on their own beats.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter how long it's been. I've never seen that happen. She's the only artist. And I've seen her in person twice. Not one beat she could use. I was like, this is sad, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's sad. And you're seeing she has to work, because if she doesn't keep working, those taxes and that money that she owes, they're going to be on her ass. So she has to tour.
So
she's in a rock and a hard place.
I don't know. The information you're giving me is that her contract's fucked up, so she can't even make music right now. Too. Like, she's fucked up.
Can't. So I don't even... Even the like, Nice For What beat and all that, she's making no money.
She's not making, yeah.
The next Drake song that he used, the Lauryn Hill sample, I can't remember what it was called, Vital, I can't remember what it was. He used the next sample, she doesn't get paid for that. People are using her voice left, right, and center, she can't get paid.
She's a legend.
You're a legend. She's a legend now. And she's even more of a legend because she defied the system.
Mm-hmm.
She said, fuck you guys. Like, you guys aren't going to take my livelihood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, any other person could have crumbled and committed suicide, drugs, all types of stuff. She was like, fuck you guys. Mm-hmm. Like,
I'm going to stand tall.
Even
though it's not as good.
Have my kids with Ziggy Marley. Like, you know, but I seen that actually the other day too. Somebody said she's a glorified Frank Ocean.
What?
Because she only has the one album. I'm like, are we forgetting she was in the Fugees?
Yeah.
Are we forgetting she had MTV Unplugged after the album as well? She sang with a strep throat and did an entire live album.
Yeah.
I thought she left us. She's
bitter. But even if she did, like, D'Angelo is still a legend. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and like, would you have said he's not a legend before Black Messiah dropped?
But I'm not bitter from him leaving the game.
He created a genre. Oh
no!
He literally disappeared on purpose.
Well, that's okay.
He was becoming too much of a sex icon, and he hated it. He hated every second of it. He'd go to shows and people would rip his clothes off, and he was just so tired of it. And he literally, I think he at one point ate himself to like just fat, just to be unattractive. Like, I can't imagine being that sexy. That's insane.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm tired of this.
Yeah. Apparently he was like a sex addict or something, like, cause he had to like try to perform.
I don't know if he was a sex addict, but I know that he was like an artist. Like one of those, he wants to be appreciated for every note. You know what I mean? And the man created Neo Soul, like him or Tony. There's a debate on who created, but he coined the sound, essentially, for like Erykah Badu, Lauryn Hill, all these guys that came out afterwards. So he's a legend, but...
Yo, for someone who has that type of, like, let's say Lauryn Hill, right?
Yeah.
They own your name, they own your likeness, they own everything, right? Yeah. You can't recreate the music.
Perpetuity.
Exactly, right? Can't you go and start a whole new name and likeness that... I mean, that's like a strategic way to go in about it, right? Because I'm like, I go by...
Depends on the contract. If they own all likenesses. Like, you know what I mean? If you create... get
surgery, let's say, like, okay, I shifted my cheeks, my nose. I'm
wondering if you change languages.
Religion.
Aha.
Religion.
Religion too.
Religion.
If you sing gospel too, because that R&B track she's in, you're like, yeah, okay, you can't sing my, you can't sing in this
she
genre
has to go
anymore.
To Sister Act.
Maybe.
Joyful, you know, joyful. Yeah, no, so, I would wonder if it would change depending on language and country. Because like if she moved to like
Europe,
so Nairobi,
and just start singing in Arabic.
Like. That's a fact. Because sometimes they'll even have like the label geo like to America and another label for Canada, another money.
Yeah, there. Subsidiaries.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So maybe that could be a way around it too. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Jeez, man. And even like people like Daniel Caesar too. He's dropped multiple classic albums. That last album, you know what I'm saying?
What's going on with him?
Well, some heat.
Yeah.
That album he just dropped, amazing.
Yeah.
He's talking so much shit about cancel culture. I love it.
The wokeness.
Yeah. What's your opinion on cancel culture, bro? What do you think about cancel culture right now?
I feel like it's dying out slowly. It's losing its power in a sense.
Yeah.
Like, I think people are kind of over it and realizing that there's so many people that cancel people and then you see that they have sins.
Yeah.
And then they realize, oh yeah, none of us are perfect. It's like, what are we doing? So yeah, I don't know. It depends on, these days it depends on what you do. And I think it's more so violence and sexual misconduct that will get you canceled more than anything.
But even if just like being accused. Well, yeah,
look at Jonathan Majors.
Jonathan Majors.
There's been nothing proven yet, but I mean, all signs point to he did that shit. Like, there's past accusers coming out and working with the DA's office. Once your PR team leaves the Golden Goose, you know it's a wrap, man.
Yeah. Marvel hasn't canceled him yet.
It's coming. It's coming.
I think this is a bigger company, so it takes a lot more. There's a lot more bureaucracy.
They got to find his replacement first before they announce it. They got to... It's changed so much things logistically, costume design, all types of, there's so many little meticulous things that need to be taken care of that they might, it might be taking them a while to do that first.
You've been doing comedy for a minute now. How's that been going so far?
What do you mean, like stand-up?
Stand-up
has been going great. Like last year I decided to take it seriously and do it full-time. And yeah, man, it's been the greatest thing I've ever done.
How do you describe like your comedic style?
Shit, I don't even know. I think I'd come off like I'd be much more innocent than the things that I say.
Yeah.
Probably. I'm starting to realize that because like half the crowd will be shocked while the other half's laughing. So it's I don't think they're expecting me to what I say.
Really, eh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is surprising because it's like, to me, it's pretty obvious. Like, white people are, you know.
That's a fact. Which one have you found more lucrative between like comedy, YouTube, content creation, hosting? Like, where do you, what's like for the pie of like your, you know, businesses? Like, what do you think has become the most like, you know?
It's tough because like I've just started stand up. So it's tough to say like where, like, how much I can get out of it, because there's still so many things that like I still have, like I have, still need to have a album recording and a special and do a festival. So it's I mean, for now it's stand-up's looking like the thing I want to do the most. And there's a ton of lucrative ways where you can make money from it,
for sure.
It's particularly tough when you're in Toronto, like everything else, but you know, where there's a will, there's a way. So I'm gonna figure it out. But yeah, I think it's once I have that first special out the way, I'll have a better gauge on like what I'm able to make from stand up and what I'm able to do with it. But for right now it's throwing events. Like my events are probably making me the most money right now.
Let's talk about that. When it comes to events, actually, speaking of which, let me let you promote. Talk to us about Vibes Cartel versus Movado.
Yeah. I started a versus series. And it was an idea I had once I saw the versus during the pandemic. But I really expected somebody else to do it. And so I kind of threw the idea away in my mind. And then it just came back to me not too long ago, a couple months ago. And I was just like, yeah, I haven't seen anybody do that. Like, why don't I just do that party? And I hit up a friend of mine who had done like one person. I think she had done Beyonce. It was like a Beyonce night for Renaissance. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, okay, you've kind of dealt with this like one artist per party type vibe. I think you'd be, and she throws a ton of other events. Shout out to Rebecca. And shout out to DJ Revy B. And they throw a ton of events in the city, and so I know they know what they're doing. Me and Revy B, we work on my other event, Midnight Society, together. So I just knew this team would work well. And yeah, the first one we did was Beyonce versus Rihanna. Did really well. We did it at Sorry Not Sorry. It went exactly how I hoped. Yeah, it was like everybody just screamed, singing their lyrics. so much passion, all the fans. And then midway through the night, we do a sound clash. Five versus five. So like mm-hmm. five songs versus five songs. And we pick two people out of the audience and they tell the DJ what song. And then they usually sing it with their friends and kind of battle each other. And then the audience decides by who making wins. Noise who wins.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just been fun. The first event was amazing. The next one we have is Vybz Kartel versus Mavado in June. And that one is going to be insane. We got a way bigger venue because we knew that this would sell crazy. And like, we already sold more than our last event today. We just released the tickets. So it's going to be rammed. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be at Dawn at the Danforth.
Okay. Yo, what have you learned from throwing events? Like, what are some of the things that you wish you, if someone was getting started in throwing events, that you'd be like, all right, this is what I learned. Don't do that, but go do more of this.
Not too sure. I'd say like, just like, don't, if you're going to throw something that's like episodic, like there's going to be return events on the same, under the same brand, I would say just don't like worry about making the money right away. Worry about making the product good right away. You know what I mean? Cause the money will eventually come. So if you're making a certain amount of money and you can afford to put it right back into the next event, I would say do that. But other than that, like, I'm just getting started, so I'm just figuring it out. Still figuring it out.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, bro. All right. So as we work towards wrapping up, I'm going to talk to you about some more trending topics. Mm-hmm. You know, what was it like smoking with Snoop Dogg, actually?
Snoop, it was dope both times. Yeah, like, a friend of mine brought me to his, what was it, No Guns, I think, when he was Snoop Lion.
Really?
Snoop Lion. And he's shooting his video here in Toronto, and he's shooting, I think it was a No Guns video or whatever.
No
and
guns
she brought
allowed.
Me there. And yeah, we're just chilling with him, smoking his trailer. He's Snoop, he's exactly
he's
what
way.
You think. Exactly the same way.
Yeah.
And like, you go inside the trailer and like, his cousin's over in the corner rolling up like a mountain of kush.
Yo, Marlon.
Got blunts on blunts on blunts. I was like, what's happening?
Did he call you nephew?
Yes, he calls everyone nephew.
Yo, that's my dream, bro.
He calls everyone nephew by Snoop. Call everyone
nephew. Like, yo, nephew.
It was crazy. Yeah. And we smoked until I knocked out. Everybody knocked out.
Yeah.
And the next day, he had his documentary premiere. What was it called again? Reincarnation.
Mm.
And he had the premiere at Scotiabank Theater. And so we went with him, and we're smoking in the theater. That was probably the craziest like moment of my life. I was like, I've always dreamt of doing this, and now is the only time I can get away with it. Because it's like Snoop Dogg. It's like, you know, there's no surprises.
Yeah.
If he starts smoking, everybody's like, yeah, it's
Snoop.
Snoop
Dogg. Snoop
Dogg.
Rite of passage.
Yeah.
He smoked in the White House.
My shoulder, because he's sitting behind me. Mm. And he tapped me on my shoulder with the blunt. And I was just like, this is the greatest fucking day ever. Wow. I'm watching a movie where Snoop Dogg's in Jamaica and I'm smoking a blunt with Snoop Dogg. This is crazy.
What?
Yeah, that was wild.
That's what dreams are made of.
That was wild.
All right. As we're wrapping up, what do you think about AI, bro? Are you using AI in any of your content right now?
I haven't used Allen Iverson in a long time. 2K1? No. AI is dope, man. I fuck with it a lot. I like it a lot.
What do you think of Drake and Weekend track?
Amazing.
That's an unreal
track. I want a whole AI set this summer. I need a DJ to take the plunge.
Bro, the way it's happening, it's probably gonna happen.
Just one DJ. All it takes. I need to hear that Rihanna Free Minds Thames cover.
Mm-hmm.
I need to hear that Drake Weekend song.
Yep.
I need to hear the Drake, just the Drake one.
The Winter Joint.
Like Ghost Rider.
Winter Joint. What is cold out? Not that one. That was
crazy.
That shit was hard.
That's a fact.
That nigga said we bringing bitches to the beach. Yeah, we bringing sand. I was like, what the fuck's happening right now? I couldn't believe
that's
it.
That's a fact.
But yeah, no, the AI, there's just right now, there's so many different services that I'm kind of waiting for one to like put it under one hub of like this does this and this and this. And you don't have to go all over the place for it. Because I have so many different AI services saved in a folder of different ones. Thank you. And
thank you very much.
Yeah, they just it's crazy what they're able to do, but it's also scary how quickly they're like learning and getting quicker and faster and more efficient.
One that I started using is the AI for clips for podcast clips. So far, it's like 7 out of 10. But the team that I spoke to, like I spoke to the owner of it, and they're really like on the ball of doing new shit for it. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things I could suggest to you, bro.
AI for podcast clips. Yeah. So what does it do? It picks the clip?
Yeah, it picks the clip and syncs
it. Based on what?
Based on like the volume levels. Because when you're excited a lot of times, like in a clip, the volume will go up. Mm. So the AI will spot the volume in the podcast track.
That's literally what I do. So that's perfect. I look for the biggest volume points and I'm like, that's a clip.
Exactly,
yeah, that's
bro.
That's crazy. That's crazy. So what's it called?
It's called video.ai, not sponsored. and this because it's not sponsored, there's another one called op.video. Mm-hmm. So that's crazy, they're op.
That's crazy. Yeah, there's so many different ones. And like once you learn the prompts, for some of them, it's like sky's the limit for a lot of different things.
That's a fact. But yo, let's do a toaster. I want to toast to your consistency, bro. You've been doing this for like 16 goddamn years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Through whatever ups and downs, you know, you've really entertained the Toronto people and showed us what consistency can do. So cheers to you, bro.
Thank you,
man. Yeah, man.
Cheers. You got to stretch out with that.
Exactly. Bow. Being a staple in the city.
Shout out to Narai, the sponsor of the podcast. Shout out to the owners.
Steve Byfield.
This is one of the only Black-owned wines in Canada.
It tastes great.
You know what I'm saying?
Good stuff. The Rosé 2021.
Most definitely. So
code will be in the description. Order a crate for your family, your boyfriend. This is an amazing drink for seafood. I mean, I love it. Mm. It's good stuff.
For seafood.
For seafood, yeah, exactly. Some pasta. You know, I know you said you have a missus, right?
Yeah.
So grab a bottle in your eye, bro.
Definitely.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
You know what I was thinking, bro? We need to do an ad read like a Gillian Wallow for Amsterdam vodka or for wine. But you know our own style of it, you know?
Yeah.
Like your missus is sitting at home watching Ratchet TV,
grabbing your eye.
You know what I'm saying? You about to take her on a date on a patio?
Grabbing your ride. You yo, you're going to Trinity Bellwoods in the summer and you're going to sit on the blanket and have a good time?
Grabbing your ride,
bro. That's all you got to do. Anytime, grabbing your ride bottle, man. You can't go wrong with that.
Word.
Yeah.
Yo, which podcast are you feeling right now, speaking of Gillian Wallow? Like, what's some of the ones that we should shout out some of the upcoming podcasts that we see, you know, doing their thing?
Like in the city or you mean like
in the city? In the city.
Oh, in the city. Yeah. The Relentless Diaries, those are the homies.
Relentless.
The Relentless Diaries. For Y'all, obviously, with Random Order, they've been killing it. Voices from the Staircase. I love Voices from the Staircase. Trying to think. There's so many. There's a lot these days. Huddle Talk. There's so many different podcasts.
Any business podcasts you're keen on in the city?
Business podcast. Entrepreneurship. Black is the New Rich.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. My boy Corey.
Shout out Corey.
Business. I'm not up on the business ones like that. I just know Corey's is doing pretty well.
The ROTM pod is a good one.
ROTM, yeah. Yeah.
I think you
shout out to
song.
Duke. Yeah.
Shout out to Duke. Shout out to Chid. What Do I Know podcast? That one, yeah, that's one of like the best female podcasts.
What Do I Know? Is it called?
Yeah,
But what do I know? Yeah.
But what do I know?
Okay. Yeah.
BWINDK. That's like the thing podcast on Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're hard. Who else is though? I'm missing out some really
from
good
business.
Ones. Now, just overall, you know what I'm saying? As people that our listeners, our podcast listeners,
Rennie.
So. Shout out to Rennie.
Rennie.
You know, shout out to Rennie. And congratulations on meeting Justin Trudeau. You know?
Yeah. She's doing big.
Most definitely.
She's on the rise. Probably forgetting.
Yeah, this sucks because we listen to, we network with so many podcasters on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
So, but shout out to all the podcasters. No malice here. You know, we see y'all doing your thing.
Let's collaborate.
Most definitely. Yeah. With that being said, the hustle is what you can't control. So control your grind and control your life. I'm Alex.
And I'm Owen Osinde.
And I'm Marlon.
That's the show, y'all. Peace.
Peace out. Cheers, everyone. Have a great week.